And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and following the lectionary readings for this Sunday, 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 3. Hear God's word as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. That's far the reading from God's holy word. Our scripture lessons will be Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 12. So we pick two of the four passages today. And I apologize for my voice. My allergies have really gone crazy today. So if my voice cuts out, that's the reason why. We'll start with prayer. Lord, we do ask that you would illumine us, that your Spirit would turn the lights on in our minds, that as you said, let light shine out of darkness. We pray that this would be what happens to our soul today, that we indeed can hear your word, and we pray that the preaching would be faithful, and we would ask, Lord God, that your Spirit would bring home the message that each of us needs. And we ask that you would be our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the day of Pentecost was the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And our last Sunday, Jesus gave instruction that they were to go to Jerusalem and wait. And as you read through Acts chapter 1 and go on from Luke's account of the ascension that he gives for us in Luke chapter 1, you find a church going through a time of intense prayer, asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be given to them. And so this is the idea of waiting on the Lord, of praying, remembering his promise, remembering how the book of Luke started with John the Baptist being questioned, are you the Christ? And he said, no, I'm not the Christ. You can't compare me with the Christ. He said, I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. I'm not worthy to be his lowest servant. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so that is the beginning of the gospel, right off, as a herald announces this. And now Jesus has told them that he's going to give them the Holy Spirit. He told them that before he went to heaven. He told them that in the upper room. And now on this Sunday, on this day of Pentecost, this Old Testament harvest festival, we have the people gathering. And it was on that day that Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church. And that's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So our Lord ascended to heaven, and he poured out his Spirit. And so this is our understanding then of this event, that we have the Lord who is on the throne doing just as he promised. And this was a great blessing to the church. Now in Acts chapter 2, it comes with some special effects. As you look at the passage, you see that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So recently again, you might have been in the house or in a building and you hear the wind blow and you think, you know, that wind's blowing again. But here it's like a tornado. It's the sound of a violent wind coming from heaven. Now, in the Old Testament, you see the symbol of wind being also a symbol of the Spirit. Wind is a manifestation of the Spirit here. The blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Okay, so the sound filled the house. And then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. This appearance of the tongues of fire. So we have John the Baptist's promise coming to pass, this baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we have the disciples filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, going back to Genesis 11, God divided people by giving them different languages so that they couldn't understand each other. And the thought then at that time was if people were divided up, they wouldn't be able to come together and sin more. Well, in our day, there's more communication, there's more, we're overcoming the language barriers in some ways technologically. And I think we're seeing more sin in the culture than ever. Well, here, the Spirit overcomes the language barrier and does it for blessing. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, all of them, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the reason for this enablement is because we have Jews who have come from all over the known world at that time, around the Mediterranean Sea, and they're there in the temple. They're there to worship God. They're there to observe this Old Testament harvest festival, and they hear this sound, and they see the tongues of fire, and they begin. They notice that they're speaking in their own languages, and they're amazed at that, and they said, aren't these men who are speaking Galileans? Well, even if you lived in Jerusalem, you would know that Galileans would have their own accent. But here, they're able to hear them in their own native language, which is a wonderful blessing in the church. When we send missionaries to other countries, first thing they have to do is they have to learn another language. And they usually go as adults. They often, as they acquire the language, they'll have an accent. They'll be hard to listen to, and it's a challenge. But here, all this is overcome by the Holy Spirit, and people hear the gospel. They're experiencing the miracle, this work of the Spirit, as 10 language groups are mentioned. And there may have been more, but the writer cites 10 language groups that hear the gospel in their own language. And this should have been a great demonstration of what God has done. But the people were amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, what does this mean in verse 12? And some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Peter picks up on this later and says, no, these men are not drunk as you suppose. So the devil, every time the Lord does something, the devil's spin is to turn that all around. It's always the case, and it's the case when good things happen in our world today. There's always another view. And sometimes people throw up their hands and they say, well, who's to know? Well, there is one right interpretation. That's God's interpretation. But the devil wants to deceive people, right? And so there's mockery here. They made fun of them. They've had too much wine. There's mockery and there's a charge of drunkenness in this amazing miracle of the coming of the Holy Spirit. There's a complete opposite view that's given. Now that's slanderous. It's wrong. And it happens in our society as well, over and over again. And you gotta be able to discern what's true and what's right. As you go through Acts chapter 2, and we haven't done it today, further, as the story is completed, you see Peter preaching about the death of Jesus on the cross. He said, you crucified him with the advice of evil men, but this was God's plan, that Jesus would be the sacrifice for sin, and that God raised him from the dead. And this was foretold in the book of Psalms by David. And whereas David says, you will not leave my body to decay. And the writer, the preacher there says, well, we know where David's tomb is. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about his son, Jesus. And the response to Peter's preaching, as he called these people to repent and to be baptized, 3,000 new converts. Ahead of that, 150 people gathered for prayer. Now, 3,000 new converts. And the new converts' life is radically different. As it's described in verse 42, the following this, here's what they did. See if this matches up with what your life's about. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the Lord sends apostles to teach us. And they devoted themselves to that teaching. And the Christian fellowship. And the breaking of bread, which is communion and prayers. Very much of what worship is about. They were devoted to it. And that's where we need to be as well. And so this is what happened when Pentecost came. And what happened in history 2,000 years ago continues to affect the church today. Maybe you weren't paying attention in history class to learn that James Madison wrote the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution that became known as the Bill of Rights. But that continues to affect your life today, hundreds of years later. The Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And yet, all that is very much part of our lives here in this country. Well, the Pentecost event, even if we tend to forget it, even if we don't understand everything about it, even if it happened 2,000 years ago, it is still affecting the church today, affecting every church of Jesus Christ. And what we read in, as Paul instructs the church in Corinth, is that every Christian is given at least one spiritual gift. And we see that in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And we continue, we look at other places in the writings of Paul And we see that he works with this more than just here, with this concept that every Christian is given at least one spiritual gift. And that means you have a spiritual gift. And so the question is, what is it? And are you using it for his glory? Some people would think that I've been given a gift of preaching. I trust that's true. And some people would have the idea that everybody should be a teacher in the church. I would say that's false. Not everyone should teach. Not everyone has a gift of teaching. And there are all sorts of things that the church needs. There's different gifts. One way to look at it is you need the right horse for the course. You know, you don't bring a workhorse out and run on the racetrack. You don't bring a quarter horse to pull a heavy load. People have been gifted in certain ways. If you got, you know, maybe you see me carrying a hammer and some nails, but you're probably not going to call me for your carpentry work at your house. Probably not. And in the church, people have different abilities that God has given, and different, and those things might be pretty common, you would think, but they're people that do them are very important. And God gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can function in the church in different ways. And yet there's a unity in the church. Paul would make an analogy here in verse 12, and talk about the church as a body, as a body, as a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, so all its parts are many, they form one body, and so it is with Christ. See, that's how the church is supposed to operate. Just as the members of your body have a different function, and that's what makes a body work. And so Paul has talked about these different gifts that we have. Verse 4, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service. In other words, the use of the gift that God has given. And we're to take that gift, whatever it is, and we're to put it to use in his kingdom. Jesus tells a story just before he goes to the cross about these investors that were given each different sums of money, and they were to invest until the master called them for a report. And so we've been given these things to invest in the kingdom of God. Verse 6 says there are different kinds of workings or variety activities. And so you think about what Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 12 of people who have the gift of encouraging or the gift of giving. If you have that gift, Paul said, give generously. If you have the gift of administration, use that. If you've been called to govern, do it wholeheartedly. But we each of us have been given a gift, and probably more than one. And if we use our gifts, we might even get some more. The Spirit of God uses the different abilities that people have, and it brings unity. The Spirit of God brings unity using all these differences. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And so you've been given a gift, and your gift, your spiritual gift, is to be a blessing to the church, not for your own glory, not for your own glory. Verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay, it's not about you. It's about serving the Lord, using that gift, serving the Lord, using that gift for the common good. In other words, to be a blessing to the church. Heidelberg Catechism asks the question, what do you understand by the communion of the saints? And the answer is first that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and all his treasures and gifts. And second, that each member considered a duty to use these gifts readily and joyfully for the service and enrichment of other members. So today we have to use our gifts. Now, a number of you are using your gift of singing today as you sang the hymn, A Mighty Fortress. And I was blessed by hearing it. This is how it is in the church, as people use the gifts that God has given. And Paul, as he talked to the Corinthians, in the Corinthian church, God had given some wonderful gifts. And we look at them, and we don't necessarily see these gifts today. Miraculous powers, ability to distinguish between spirits, interpretation of tongues. And we recognize that some of the gifts of the early church were passing away. And we note this in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there's knowledge, it will pass away. So the situation in the early church, in the Corinthian church, was different from the church now. The writings of the apostles were being gathered. They did not have the complete Bible that we do. They were getting a message of wisdom, you know, straight from God, a message of knowledge, straight from the work of the Spirit. And the gifts given by the Spirit were for that time period. And gifts such as miraculous powers were sign gifts of the early church period. So they were, you know, they would draw attention, they would bring confirmation. And now it seems, as we look at the life of the church, that what we have is the Scriptures as our foundation for God's word to come to us. We are not in the days of the apostles, as we have the complete Scripture. And we see in verse 11 that God can do this. In verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. So the Lord gives his gifts to the church according to his determination, not how we would think it should be. He tells us in verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given to one Spirit to drink. So the church, rather than think of it as an organization, which it is as we look at it from a human point of view, but in the Bible, the church is an organism more than an organization. It's a body of Christ and a spiritual organism. And so we need to think in terms of what our contribution is to the body. And if the church isn't healthy, it's like, well, why isn't the body healthy? Well, you know, and then you can go to that problem that the body has. Well, we're members of the body. If you're in a club of some kind and you're a member of that club, you're using a word from the Bible that refers to the part of a body, member. They're using a concept that comes from the Bible here. And so we are baptized into one body. In verse 13, as we think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now here's one example of how to look at it. The Corinthians were not there on the day of Pentecost. I wasn't there either, nor were you. But here's what Paul said in verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. In other words, when we became a Christian, we became part of the church, We shared in the baptism of the Spirit at that time. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, in other words, Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We didn't miss out. If we believe in Jesus, it happened because the Spirit opened our ears, gave us a hunger and thirsting for Christ. It's the Spirit's work in our life, and we're benefiting from something that happened 2,000 years ago. As we think about our own situation, God has given you a gift, and so what is it? And how are you using it for His glory? And then we are people that share in the gifts of others as members of the body. And so the question is, do you appreciate the gift of other members as you're blessed by them? And God's gifts are for the glory of Christ, to advance His kingdom. It's not for us, but to bless His church. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And we thank You, God, that You do not leave us as orphans. We thank You for the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise for salvation and provide all that we need. And we would ask, Lord, for blessing now as we also go on to celebrate the sacrament today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.